It's The Takeaway, and I'm Duarte Giraldino. And just a heads up, for the next 8 or so minutes, we're going to be talking about sex and sex work. New York City gave some pretty blunt guidance on sex in the time of coronavirus this weekend. Quote, "You are your safest sex partner," the Department of Health's memo read. It advised against sex with anyone outside your home. We'll be having more conversations about our changing relationship with sex because of COVID-19 in the coming weeks. But first, we want to check in on a group of people whose livelihoods are affected by the coronavirus, but who are often not mentioned: sex workers. They are hourly and shift workers, and like millions of people, many of them are facing a total loss of income because of COVID-19. Jacqueline Francis, who goes by the nickname Jack the Stripper, is a stripper, comedian, artist, and author. Thanks so much for coming on the show, Jack.
Thank you.
And Anya Zulajowski is a staff writer with Vice Canada. Anya, thank you for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So Jack, let's start with you. What makes sex workers so vulnerable during a pandemic like this?
There's so many different kinds of sex workers. First of all, I'm a stripper. I've been a stripper for 10 years. And one of the things is that strippers can't apply for unemployment because we're misclassified as independent contractors when we're really employees. So that's just the start of it. And then a lot of the work that sex workers do is intimate work. And with intimacy kind of being out of the equation right now, that leaves so many sex workers out of work.
And what are you hearing from other people in the industry?
We're scared. We are trying to support each other as much as we can. There are a lot of mutual aid funds that are emerging, which is really inspiring. There's nobody more resilient than sex workers. So I have full faith that we can be there for each other and support each other. But as far as getting any kind of like unemployment or anything, that's absolutely out of the question for literally all of us. I don't know anybody who's getting any benefits.
So are people actually stopping work, or is there some clandestine activity still going on?
A lot of sex workers are moving to online platforms. A lot of sex workers are already on online platforms, which is great, but you have to have a lot of privilege to be able to access those platforms. You have to have access to a computer and Wi-Fi. And also, a lot of sex workers don't want to put their identities online. Stigma kills. So if we're outed by just trying to survive, a lot is on the line. A lot is at stake.
And you've been talking to sex workers in Canada where you're based. Tell us what you're hearing.
In Canada, we recently found out Prime Minister Justin Trudeau announced a COVID-19 emergency care benefit. And so the point is to protect people who can't usually apply for EI. And so that includes gig workers, that includes freelancers. But I think it's pretty telling that sex workers are left out of, like, specifically left out, that language isn't included time and time again. And here, when I reached out to the government and the Prime Minister's office to ask if sex workers would be eligible, I did not get a direct response. I just got a blanket comment saying that they're, you know, releasing this very soon and that they'll have more to share in the coming days. But in Toronto, I mean, we're now in a state of emergency. So strip clubs are effectively shut down, you know, bars, nightclubs, all of them are. So that's a lot of income lost. I know a lot of advocacy groups in Toronto, in Montreal, have been doing a lot to make sure that sex workers remain informed and protected. But, you know, when income starts to drop, a lot of it is going to move online. So one sex worker who works part-time in Toronto and part-time in Las Vegas actually told me that while her clientele in a country like Italy is really spiking, she's also seeing a lot more competition online, and it's starting to be a little bit difficult to differentiate herself. For a lot of sex workers, I've heard that building a brand online is really hard. I spoke to one sex worker in Toronto. She's a dominatrix. She offers diversified services. So she already has an income and has a clientele base for both phone and sexting. And so that's really helped her. But for someone who's never done online work, building that brand and setting that all up, that takes time. And right now, we don't really have time.
Jack, what are some of the sex workers doing right now to get by, the ones who have seen business drop dramatically?
I know a lot of sex workers who are starting an OnlyFans account. OnlyFans is sort of like a streaming platform or a content platform where you can post adult content. And a lot of sex workers are already on platforms like Facebook and Instagram. And Instagram will actually deplatform you if you link an OnlyFans discount in your bio. So it's even harder to get people to send the traffic to where you want to go, but that's what they're doing. And then another point is that mutual aid funds are emerging everywhere. So sex workers have always helped each other and supported each other in times of crisis. So there's a lot of mutual aid funds that you can donate to, and they provide emergency funds to sex workers in crisis. They've always done this, but there are way more sex workers who are in crisis, so they need more funding.
So Jack, what about the prosecution of sex work? In some places, obviously, it's a crime. Have the prosecutions slowed down, or are they ramping up in light of COVID-19?
Well, the one silver lining headline that I read was that in Baltimore, prosecutors are going to stop prosecuting drug possession and prostitution charges, because when there is a world health crisis happening, it is not up to you to criminalize people for surviving and doing what they do with their bodies, because it is their bodies and is their choice. So I will say that that is one thing that it's like, you know, when we're in a crisis, it's like, how important is it? How important is it to criminalize someone for selling services using their body and their own free will? It is not that important. It's not your business. So that was one headline that I read that lifted my spirits a little bit. And hopefully that realization that it is not important to criminalize these people I hope that spreads.
Anya, what about in Canada?
So I haven't heard anything about prosecution increasing or decreasing, but here too. So, you know, sex work itself is not included is not considered a crime. However, every activity basically around sex work is, which does end up making the industry extremely unsafe, because we've seen a lot of cases actually, just even recently. Marilyn Levesque in Montreal is a sex worker who was allegedly killed in January by a repeat offender. And in that story, a lot of sex workers who I spoke with were saying that if all of the activities that includes supporting a sex worker, so that includes massage parlors, if those were decriminalized, then they'd be able to actually report to police, you know, instead of kind of maintaining everything underground. So that just continues to be a problem. But in terms of COVID-19, I haven't seen anything changing one way or another.
Anya Zulajowski is a staff writer with Vice Canada, and Jacqueline Francis, also known as Jack the Stripper, is a comedian, artist, and author. Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.